Welcome in. In this lesson, we're making a ghosted riser in Ableton Live 12 for jungle, old school DNB, rollers, and darker bass music, and we're doing it the smart way. Low CPU, tight arrangement control, and enough grit to feel sampled and alive. The big idea here is simple. A riser in DNB is not just a swoosh that gets louder. It's tension. It's a phrase marker. It's a little bit of pressure that tells the listener something is about to change without stealing the spotlight from the break, the snare, or the sub. In this style, the best risers often feel half-hidden, like they're ghosted into the track instead of sitting on top of it. So instead of loading up a huge synth chain and letting it run live the whole time, we're going to build a tiny source, automate it just enough to make it interesting, print it to audio, and then shape the audio like an arrangement shadow. That's the move. That's what keeps it light on CPU and strong musically. First, create a new MIDI track and load a very simple stock instrument. Operator is perfect for this. Analog works too, but Operator is nice because it's clean, direct, and efficient. Keep it brutally simple. Use just Oscillator A. Start with a sine wave if you want a cleaner ghost layer, or a saw if you want a dirtier old-school identity. If you go with a sine, you'll add brightness later with filtering and saturation. If you go with a saw, you'll already have some edge, and the filter can shape it into something more classic and worn in. Either way, keep the envelope short and controllable. Attack near zero. Decay somewhere in the few hundred milliseconds range. Sustain at zero. Release short. We are not building a pad. We're building a tension source. Now program a very minimal MIDI phrase. This is where a lot of people overdo it. You do not need a melody. You do not need a huge pitch climb. You just need a shape that feels like motion. One sustained note is enough in many cases. You could also do a one or two note movement near the end. Maybe a semitone or two up, just enough to create that little pull before the drop. For jungle and old school phrasing, think about where the riser sits against the drums. If your last bar has a snare fill or a break variation, let the riser support that moment rather than fighting it. A riser that lands with the grid, or just before the phrase turn, feels like part of the arrangement instead of an added effect. Now we shape the source with a very light effects chain. Keep this lean. We're going to print it. So don't get precious about leaving everything live. A good starting chain is auto filter, saturator, maybe echo or simple delay, and optionally a touch of redux if you want some lo-fi texture. That's enough. You do not need six devices. You need a clear counter. Set auto filter to low pass or band pass, depending on how focused you want it. Start the cutoff low, somewhere in the low hundreds of hertz, and automate it upward into the top end over the phrase. Add a bit of resonance, but not so much that it whistles. Then add saturator with a few dB of drive and soft clip-on. This gives the riser some harmonics so it doesn't feel sterile. If you want a tiny bit of space or flicker, add a very subtle echo with a short time and low feedback, and filter the repeat so it doesn't muddy the low mids. Here's the teacher note that matters a lot. Think in silhouettes, not big effects. If the envelope shape is right and the harmonic reveal is right, the riser will work even if it's not flashy. In this style, subtle is often stronger. Now automate only the important stuff. Don't start drawing every knob in sight. Focus on two or three parameters max. Filter cutoff is the main one. Saturator drive can be the second. Dry slash wet on echo or redux can be the third, if you need it. Start filtered and narrow. Let the brightness open over the last half bar. Add a little extra saturation near the end. If you're using delay, let it appear only on the last beat or final slice so it feels like a tail, not a wash. A really effective DNB move is to keep the beginning slightly dull and restrained, then let the last quarter bar bloom. That contrast creates tension. In break-heavy music, the drums already give you movement, so your riser should reveal itself gradually, not scream from the first frame. Once the contra feels good, resample it. This is the key step. Create a new audio track. Set its input to resampling, arm it, and record the MIDI performance. Now you've captured the instrument, the filter movement, the saturation, and any little delay tail in one audio file. That print is the reason this technique is so CPU-friendly. The live chain is gone. The sound is now just audio. In a dense DNB session with breaks, sub, bass layers, atmospheres, and drum processing, that matters a lot. It keeps the project light and the workflow fast. After resampling, trim the clip tightly. Use fade handles so the start and end are clean. If it needs timing correction, warp it, but ideally you've already performed it close enough to the grid. At this stage, the sound should feel a bit more committed, a bit more like an actual part of the track rather than a plugin demo. Now we ghost it. Ghosting a riser means making it serve the track instead of dominating it. Pull the clip cane down so it sits comfortably in the arrangement. A lot of the time, the better move is to make it quieter than you first think. Add an EQ8 and high pass it pretty aggressively, somewhere in the upper low range or higher depending on the material. You don't want low-end clutter. You want tension, not mud. If it's too sharp, take a little high shelf off the top. If it's too wide and noisy, use utility to narrow it. In a lot of jungle and dark roller material, keeping the riser mostly mono until the final tail helps it sit inside the track instead of floating above it. Then you can widen just the last little bit for a subtle bloom. That's an important part of the vibe. Ghosted risers should feel like they're almost hidden until the end. They shouldn't be obvious from bar one. If you mute it and the phrase suddenly feels empty, you're probably in the right zone. Now let's add some old school energy with a reverse tail. Duplicate the printed clip, reverse the duplicate, and place it so it points into the drop or switch. Keep it heavily high-passed and faded in from silence. This can give you that aged, sample-based feel that works beautifully in jungle and darker DNB. This is a nice place to think about arrangement. In an 8-bar intro, that reverse ghost can lead into the first full break entry. In a 16-bar section, it can help mark a switch up. The point is not to create a giant cinematic moment. The point is to create a convincing handoff. If you want even more control, use automation to make the riser breathe with the drums. You can duck it lightly with sidechain compression, from the drum bus so the snare still owns the phrase turn. You can automate the clip gain down a touch when the snare hits hardest. You can even automate a tiny filter move or delay send on the last hit. Just remember, restraint wins here. In old school DNB, the snare often owns the moment. So if your riser starts competing with a drum fill, it loses the vibe. The transition should be felt more than heard at the strongest transient. At this point, if you like the sound, consolidate it and treat it like a reusable asset. Save it in your project folder. Better yet, build a small audio effect rack on the printed audio track with EQ8, utility, maybe a touch of saturator, and optional short reverb or delay if you need it. Then save versions with clear names like Ghost Riser Jungle HP, Dark Roller Print, or Old School Sweep Mono Tail. That's how you build a personal transition library. Next time you need a lift, you're not designing from scratch. You're pulling from a set of printed tools that already live in the right sonic world. A few common mistakes to watch for. Don't make the riser too wide too early. Don't leave low end in it. Don't drown it in reverb. Don't spend forever automating every single device when one strong sweep and one supporting motion will do the job. And don't forget that resampling is the trick that makes this workflow efficient. If the sound is there, print it for a darker or heavier variation. You can add a filtered noise layer under the tonal source. Keep it subtle and high-passed, or make a second printed version with more distortion, so you have options later. One clean version, one dirty version, one reversed version, one shorter version. That kind of variation helps your arrangement feel intentional and alive. If you want to go further, try a pitch-bent ghost riser. Hold the note steady most of the way, then bend up only near the end. Or try a broken rhythm version by chopping the printed audio into small fragments and muting a few slices so it jitters with the break. Those moves can sound especially good before a drum edit. Here's a quick practice challenge. Make three versions of the same riser. One clean and jungle-like with a sine wave and minimal saturation. One dirty old-school version with a saw wave, more drive, and a reverse tail. One dark roller version with filtered noise, sidechain ducking, and a short delay throw at the end. Then place each one before a different arrangement change and listen to how the context changes what works. That's the real lesson here. In DNB, the riser is not a standalone effect. It's part of the phrase structure. It helps the listener feel the next 8 bars coming. It supports the drums, the bass, and the drop. And when it's done right, it barely feels like a separate element at all. So build it simply, automate with intention. Resample early, ghost it into the arrangement, and let the drums stay king. That's how you get that old school, jungle, low CPU tension that hits hard without cluttering the track.